bring me up to the point where you were just about telling me when the IRA split and went separate ways.
Well, that split into various ways after that. You see, there Sinn Féin would not take their seat in Leinster House in the Oireachtas under King George V, and they still won't take it today. And the IRA still, you see, it was a reign of terror. And the reign of terror was imposed by Lloyd George's government here. And it was scandalous. And what happened then, from my point of view, is that Harrington then, he went to school with Willie Whitelaw. Mm-hmm. And of course, he had it went from 14 on the agenda in British to number one. And Archbishop Beams, who was the Church of Ireland, and the Presbyterian people, whose abbey is beside Vaughan's Hotel up in Parnell's Row. So those people, they got after Paisley, how he was going to say yes instead of no. And they followed Calvinists. And I have a link with that too, which is a very important link. My mother's family were Nixons, and they were from Mayo. They still have their island up there. And they were the old dissenters, the old Presbyterians. So they were well versed in that. So we were accepted by the Presbyterian people as being honourable, and they were God and the sovereignty, the same as ourselves. And that's how you got it was from Scotland, actually, and from Geneva is where their headquarters were. But so this was all going on at the time. So Harrington was the garden, as you know, we go to the Garden of Remembrance. The reason that's there is because Vaughan's Hotel looks out onto it. And there were actually secret tunnels and everything underneath it. And so Harrington got going, and the Queen of England, when she came here to lay the wreath in the Garden of Remembrance, was the most important. She had to get permission from the Irish Republican Brotherhood to lay that wreath. And that's how Harrington, he was the one. And of course, Willie Whitelaw. And I remember I don't meet the Queen, and I don't meet any of these people. I didn't meet Willie Whitelaw, but Harrington was doing all the negotiations. I met the Privy Council and that over this, you know, about sovereignty and that. If you read the things, the Crown of England doesn't have sovereignty in the six counties. They have jurisdiction, which is a police force. And you must go back then to let's go back to 1155 to Porter.
But before we do, so you would have been opposed to, you didn't like the idea of the Queen visiting Ireland.
Oh, no, I did. I gave permission.
But you didn't meet her.
I didn't meet her. I offered that we would meet her, but we didn't meet.
Yeah.
And I think it was, you know, a political decision that we didn't meet. But I mean, I would have met her if she came, because I think it's important. Now, she said something very important. Mary McAleese, can I find it handy? You know that she would have liked to see things done differently in Ireland, and of course, I would have liked to see things done differently in Ireland. But you can see Mary McAleese said that. You know, she thanked the Queen for parliamentary tradition and English common law and an independent civil servants. What she meant by that is that our courts are under English common law. They're not under, they don't uphold the Constitution. And when you go into court, you see the sovereign seal up. And they're appointed by the Oireachtas. They're not appointed by Dáil-Éireann, because Dáil-Éireann has never sat in Leinster House. And she said, parliamentary tradition. This is Mary McAleese now. And independent civil servants, the civil servants are under the Oireachtas, they're not under Dáil-Éireann, which is a very sad thing in this day and age. And this is where it was the Oireachtas that borrowed all the money, not Dáil-Éireann. And yet in Article 21 of the Constitution, and I'll just read it out to you, 21, money bills, Article 21, money bills shall be instigated in Dáil-Éireann only. So how can a judge, or how can the Oireachtas talk about money bills? Or where are they getting their salaries? Where are they getting the sovereign authority from? Ireland is a sovereign, independent, democratic state.
But have you, just let's get to the point where memorabilia that you might have kept from Vaughan, so that your father would have had.
Well, that was all
passed
in
on to you.
That was all in
all.
The,
all yes.
When we left Willibank, right? And, which is there, the photograph of it. I was explaining to you about a yard and all the houses and things. At the back door of Willibank, there was accommodation for staff in the olden days and that. And all that memorabilia was put in there and in boxes, and Collins's bicycle and the printing press and all the sort of everything from Vaughan's Hotel, except from the furniture and the few things
which
we
would be extremely important. But what happened to all the papers?
But the day I told you my father wanted the university, they founded the university.
Oh, yes. Oh, they handed them over.
And they handed over the house. The house was to be where the IRA and the Supreme Council were meeting. And that was going to be used for that, for the peace reconciliation. And Brendan O'Regan, that was he set up the University of Limerick, and he was to use that as where the, in other words, continuity, and where the IRA would speak authority. Vaughan's Hotel was to be bought for that, and it was the Presbyterian people told me, Mr. McGuire, they said, do you know that Vaughan's Hotel has been gutted, sipped to sold it. To Mac Sherryman, you can see them all there, and he gutted it. He didn't know. He offered it back to the provisional government, and it was Hugh Coveney was the minister in charge, and John Bruton and Dick Spring, Jim Kemmy, Michael D. Higgins, Hugh Coveney. There were some SIPTU members as well, and they just sold it. They didn't want it for the peace and reconciliation process, and they got it Vaughan's Hotel, where the state was founded, and in deference to James Connolly, that's why Labour had it. And that was it. And then, I went down to Willibank. When we handed over Willibank, all that was there in that, and all that was done was they put a lock on the door of all that memorabilia from. And suddenly I was told, go down to Willibank and see what's going on. I went down to Willibank. They had gutted the house and gutted that. And I got on to Brendan O'Regan, because I used to meet Brendan O'Regan every year. He used to cook lunch for me. He wouldn't do it because as being president, I had, you know, he was supporting me as president of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And I told him he couldn't believe it, because he was still running the peace and reconciliation process. And here he was, and there was Willie Whitelaw and all these people, and all these people in England who had known from my father, who had contacted all these people. He went to Rome in 1950. That's when and Pius the 12th, and you know, for the peace and reconciliation process. And suddenly, there was Willibank gone, where they were to meet, where the Supreme Council were to meet. And I went down. Then Tom O'Donnell was running it. You know, he was the TD for the Gaeltacht. And I asked Tom, "What? How could you have done that? What happened to that? What's going on?" So Tom was to tell me, and he was to tell. And he would have known, because being a politician, he would have known a lot about the state, and you know, and I knew Tom pretty well.
And did all the papers go as well?
We don't know. I don't believe they got at those. I believe they're hidden someplace or other. I've asked the university many times about them, including Rowan O'Donnell, and Rowan was to find out what happened.
So nobody seems to know.
Nobody wants to know.
Yeah. That's a shame.
And that is a shame to me. And then to see Vaughan's Hotel being gutted, that was an awful blow, because the British went mad over that. You know, they were trying to sort out something to stop the killing and stop the terror, reign of terror. And where the IRA would have spoken authoritatively, you know, once the Irish Republican Brothers said, hey, you know, they are the Supreme. The British government and the House of Lords won't deal with anybody, only the Irish Republican Brotherhood, who founded the state. The rest, they don't regard as any significance, so they won't. But that's the law, that once you see, and you read it in that, which is very important.
Yeah, but that's not the way it works. That's not
it doesn't,
it
unfortunately.
Today,
And I'm very disappointed today, because when the peace and reconciliation process, as I said, Articles 2 and 3 were the important things. In 1922, we only had a claim in the six counties, but on the 21st of January 1919, we had the sovereignty in all 32 counties. And you know, the territory, we have the largest territory in Europe, all that fishing and all that.
So there would have been a very strong streak in all of the Maguires coming down along.
Oh, yes, we all.
Yeah, that you were the backbone of
We all supported that. Happening. Oh, well, we sacrificed all that money for the bank, you know, for to set up Dáil Éireann and the Dáil Éireann courts and the 1980.
What about the Sinn Féin courts?
They're the Dáil Éireann courts.
And they were also...
They all came from 1919, from the 32 county election of 1919. But in 1923, the Oireachtas and King George V made Dáil Éireann an illegal assembly. And people don't understand that today. Mm-hmm. And where are they getting their sovereignty to do all these things? Where are the courts? They're appointed under the crown. And, I mean, our defence force is going off now to Mali, I think it is. Where are they getting their sovereignty? If anything happened there... Mm-hmm. They could come and attack this country. It's a crucial thing. But then finish the bit on the peace of reckoning. Then you got up to the Good Friday and Belfast Agreement. And the important point was, as I said, they were to go back to 1922 and sort out the split. Mm. And Articles 2 and 3 were removed, where we only had a claim. So Armagh and Fermanagh and all those counties, the six counties, are now back as part of a united Ireland, because and you're back to that sovereign constitution.
But you still have the border, and you still have the.
Well, it should be done. It should be done. But that's the actual and that sovereign debt is the responsibility of the Crown of England, the British government, and the British taxpayer. It is not the responsibility of the Irish taxpayer, and they're trying to put it down. Michael D. Higgins came rushing back from Rome. To sign the Anglo-Irish deal and the promissory note, what did he sign it under? Michael D. Higgins was never a member of Dáil Éireann. He's a member of the Oireachtas. He's not President of Ireland. He's President of the Oireachtas. He is subject and servant to the Crown of England. Did he sign that on behalf of the taxpayers in Britain and the Crown? He certainly didn't sign it on behalf of Dáil Éireann and the sovereign citizens of Dáil Éireann and of the state. He doesn't recognise the state. He doesn't recognise the Irish Republican Brotherhood who founded the state. He only recognises the Crown of England. But this is...
You have a government. You
have to correct that. You have a provisional government. And you read it this morning, not me saying it, Michael Collins himself, who was head of the provisional government. You have no other government since 1922, only a provisional government. And you have RTE... coming out, who are the propaganda wing of the Oireachtas. They come out, I asked them many times, you know, in the referendum, the Irish Republican Brotherhood would be given space. No, we're not allowed. And yet they're supposed to be balanced, you know, for the referendum, the children and that. And they won't, because they don't. They come out every morning and say, the government said this. They should say, the provisional government said this. And they should say, the minister, when I wrote that letter that I gave you to Andy Kenny, it's provisional on it. And he accepts it, that he is a provisional government. Now, if you go to General de Gaulle, the Britain wanted to join the European, it was the common market at the time. We joined the common market because Britain wanted to join it. But we had no choice in that. De Gaulle would not allow us into the European Union because we only had a provisional government. A provisional government cannot sit at the table when 27 other countries sit there.
What is the future for the Irish Republican Brotherhood?
Well, we want the state. You see, you are the sovereign here. Every child in the world is born sovereign. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the harp and the sovereign seas, which you said, we won't go into there because...
Are you going to keep...
Well, I have to.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Until the day I'm going out. But it is still there, and people are sovereign. They don't know what... They're not educated to, you know, our sovereignty and what it means. And on Sunday, I complained about Simon Coveney. You know, he is only a member of a provisional government. He's sitting down in Europe. And I have written it there into... Dáil Éireann has never ratified the EEC accession treaty, or the EU accession. I never borrowed any money. And the tricolour should not be flown until Dáil Éireann has ratified it.
But did you ever look back and think, you know... there is a wonderful university in Limerick. It's all because of your father's bringing together...
It's all because of the Irish Republican Brotherhood.
Yes, but it as you say, that he was one of the founders who... brought it together. He brought these people together.
With another group. Yeah, that's correct. With a small group of patriotic people, including the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They were designated those people, as Brendan O'Regan was designated to found it. That was his brief, because Brendan O'Regan was brilliant at that.
And so the land and the house was all part of...
Well, the land and the house. Now, Brendan O'Regan came back when my father died then, and they still hadn't done anything about the university. And my mother said, look, if you don't... They were talking this. It was all talk. Mm. My mother said, if you don't do it, it'll never happen. Just like 1916, at least it happened, you know. Because in Ireland, we're always talking and going to do it, and we never do it. Hell is paved with good intentions, they say, and Ireland must be the chief. Anyway, my mother said, look, this isn't going to happen. So Brendan O'Regan came in one day, and my mother said, look, Brendan, this is going on. Let's talk. Remember, my mother was... Yeah. She comes from the older centre line, the Presbyterian people, you know. very Christian. They were very Christian people, but no-nonsense people, you know. And she said, look, you have to, look, you know, people can't be going off with a shovel and a back, and, you know, as absolute slaves to these countries. They must be educated in that. Education would be the main basis.
So what happened?
Brenda came anyway, and so she said, look, you have to. Here's the place. That's what was laid down. The Irish Republican Brotherhood said it had to be here because of Clare, a university for Limerick, Clare and Tipperary. Yeah. And at that stage, we're going back now to my father died in 64, so it's around 60, after that, 65, maybe 66. So Brendan got on his bicycle and got around and he got going. And because his brother, Paddy, was the curate in St. Patrick's, which was Mona Lean and St. Patrick's, and Canon Cooper, who was an outstanding man, he was from Newcastle West, and they were all fully behind all this. They were all on the committee, and I mean Maureen De Valera and these people, and Hugh de Menuhin, Sir John Barbarolli. I mean these were, you know, all these people, Duggan and Matt Mackin I think I'll leave out something now and I'll be raging. Ted Russell and all these people. And anyway, they decided, right. And my mother said, right, we're giving Willowbank so that it can be built. And Brenda,
well, that was a huge, generous thing to do. I mean, to give it over.
Well, I don't think it... They don't.
It was their home, your home.
It was. And it was one of the most beautiful places in County Limerick, because Clive of India was next door that was his seat. And all those trees, 4 miles of beach walks, and, you know, all these different trees from all over the world. And and you look down the river to Limerick and you'd see magnificent, the Clare Hills and the sun. Oh, it was a magnificent. And I mean, Sir John Barbarolli, you get a telegram, I'm coming over. So they used to all stay. You know, all these people came and stayed in Willowbank. You know, Willowbank was
so your right. Memories of living there.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
It was. But the point was, Brendan then, my mother said that, and then he came back and he said to my mother, he said, right, you can give the house, all right, but to give the land, he said that, you know, looking at me and there, he said, look, your family could come back to the university and say, look, we only gave that, we wanted back. So what he did was, they gave her, I've forgotten the amount now, as a pension for herself. That's how they did it in the end. And
did your mother build another house on the land?
We went up to Silog in Castletroy, where she spent the rest of her days. Yeah. And I moved all my horses. I had 24 horses there, show jumpers. I was in the Irish team at the time. And I myself nothing to do with them or that money. I bought a Knocklong cottage in Knocklong because it was an old training establishment. I put all my horses out there. And then I bought Connemara, which I still have. But I had problems in when I bought Knocklong, because apparently when it was put up for sale, it was taken, the Land Commission already had decided to divide it. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. McCalmont in Kilkenny wanted to buy a place. She was leaving Mount Juliet, and she came down there, and it was supposed to be, and I didn't know all this, and I bought it at the auction, and they had awful trouble, because the Land Commission, it was only for Mrs., it was a political decision, to give Mrs. The Kirby's owned it. They trained civility to win the Derby there. And the Aga Khan built all those stables. That's where he used to keep his mares for the Golden mm-hmm. Vale, the limestone, you know, when he came here first. So it was a very famous old place, wonderful land. But so that's what that happened to that. So I had awful trouble with the Land Commission, and in the end they divided the place, so it was no good because, you know, you had to have the summer and winter gallops on there.
Right, and then you moved down here?
No, I moved to Connemara then completely.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah. Nice. But I couldn't continue with the show jumping and that, you know. But anyway, having done all those things, but I think it's important to stress that the importance of the peace and reconciliation process was to go back to 1922.
Yes,
and the Queen said it in her speech. Mm-hmm. She said, "I would only wish that things had been done differently."
Tell me about the. We're approaching 2016, but in 1966, were you involved, or did you go to Dublin, or did you go back to Vaughan's Hotel in 1966, the 50th anniversary of the of the Rising?
No, my father was dead in 64.
That's right, yeah.
But I got cold shoulder from everybody. They didn't want us.
And is that right?
Isn't that awful? And last year, I go down to Bail na Bow, you know.
Yes.
I'm non-political. I can't be a member because I hold the sovereignty, you know. Yeah. I'm not the sovereign. You're the sovereign. The people are the sovereign, you know. Yeah. And when you vote, that's it. It's the law of the land. And I went, and I go, you know, my father brought me to all these places where I go to. You know, I go to the Mansion House to go do all these things. And this year I went to Bail na Blow, as usual, and I laid the wreath on behalf of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. That's what Collins was. It wasn't Collins at all. Collins, that's a myth. He was set up by the Irish Republican Brotherhood, this myth about Collins, was the greatest man ever. And it was, you know, one of these things the British set up. It was propaganda. And that's why he didn't want to go to the talks. Because he was this mythical figure. They couldn't capture him. They didn't know what he looked like. Mm. They didn't know anything about him. This wonderful person in Ireland. Mm. And that was the myth of the whole thing. And of course, once he went to De Valera, because we know why De Valera didn't go, because he was illegitimate and he couldn't hold the sovereignty. And Woodrow Wilson in America tipped him off, Lloyd George, that De Valera was illegitimate and couldn't hold the sovereignty.
But it's interesting, though, how you wouldn't... want, say, to go to Dublin, you've got cold shoulder, that people put you off going back there.
They won't. And we're only allowed every year the fight to try and get into the Mansion House on the 21st of January, when the Mansion House is where Dáil Éireann sat, where the state was ratified. And we're not allowed, only 20 people are allowed in the door. This year I went to Bail na Blow with my wreath, Easter Lily, and I usually lay it on behalf of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. I arrived there this year, in the Kenny. The Minister for Justice, Shatter,
mm-hmm.
and a member of the committee, and General Chief of Staff McCann. And I was told, you can't lay the wreath this year, my wreath. And I know Dermot Collins, you know, from over the years. I know a lot of the committee over the years, and including the Collinses, but I didn't see any of the Collinses there this year. But anyway, there was people who said, he has to lay, because, you know, for years they've been going there, and people would say, the Irish Republic have to lay the wreath. And anyway, Dermot was over, you know, they had a change this year where you were kept back, and there were seats for the VIPs, and they were over the other part. And I shouted across at Dermot, hey, Billy, I said, I want to lay the wreath. No, he says, you can't lay the wreath. And they were fine. The people were shouting and roaring. So Michael Noonan came to the VIP place, and I was quite near it, outside the rope, you know. And the committee were there, and I shouted, can you sort that out, that the Irish Republican Brothers read, they're not allowing it to be laid. And the people were roaring. Be quiet, Billy, he roared.
Yes.
And the people were shouting, go on, lay the wreath. So anyway, I didn't lay the wreath. That's the first time.
Yeah,
they didn't want it. And I found that very sad.
Billy McGuire, it's always a pleasure to come here and talk to you. Listen, thank you very much for giving me more information on your family. Thank you.
You're very welcome.